turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. And as you're turning, just a couple other announcements. Harvest party is October the 31st at 6:30 p.m.
We need helpers, and we've already have seen quite a bit of candy donated, so we appreciate that so much. But we're looking forward to a great time together. Please be in prayer for that. And if you'd like to run a game, we'd appreciate your help with that. Also, please remember our Thanksgiving baskets. We want to do, actually we did more than 30 last year, and we want to do at least 30, if not more. There's always plenty of need. In fact, we just received word from one of the food pantries that one of the organizations, I think United Way, which normally donates turkeys, will not be donating this year. So there's going to be increased need. But bless God, we can meet that need not only with the with food, but with the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you would turn with me to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7, I'd like to speak on the thought this morning of debt. We're hearing a lot about that recently, aren't we? Debt. Proverbs 22, 7. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Once again, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing to be with us as we look to the Word of God this morning. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you, Lord, for your presence that's in this place in a mighty way. And we thank you, Lord, for hungry hearts who are here. Hear more about you and your word. As we approach, Lord, your word this morning, we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit upon us in a powerful way. We pray, Lord, for your anointing upon this speaker today. May my words be your words in the name of Jesus. We pray that you give us ears and spirits to receive what your word has for us. And we ask that you would help us to grow in you in all things. And we ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. If you haven't noticed, one specter that looms over not just the United States, but now over the entire world, something that acts as a dark shadow, is that of debt. Debt. We are currently not in so much a national crisis as we are in a worldwide financial crisis. And we could trace the root, or at least a major contributor to this crisis, to bad debt. Bad debt. In an effort to kind of circumvent the troubles that the stock market and banks, great big banks and financial institutions have had, our government has voted to do what's known as, has voted to bail out different banks and different lending institutions. Although our government is in debt itself, it has pledged an additional $700 billion to take these banks out of debt and allow our economy to continue to move forward. In fact, the debt calculator, one organization that calculates the debt of the United States, has it over $10 trillion. I don't know, I can't even fathom how much money that is, but just doing a little math, a person who makes $50,000 a year, if they put every penny that they made to pay off the debt, it would take them 200,000 years. Not 200 years, 200,000 years to pay off our natural debt. Debt. That's almost a slip of the tongue there. Americans are outraged by this, and in some ways, rightly so, outraged that we're taking on more debt and there doesn't seem to be any end to it. But in some ways, we shouldn't be outraged because we are people who live by debt as well. In fact, this is a dated statistic. Consumer debt in the United States is over $2 trillion. Every individual owes at least roughly over $6,000 apiece. People are losing homes. People are declaring bankruptcy. They're having their cars repossessed and having their wages garnished. All this at an alarming rate. Debt. In fact, debt and financial pressure is one of the main, if not the number one reason that married couples end up breaking off their marriage and divorcing one another. Debt is something that affects every person in every walk of life. Both the struggling young couple who are just starting out and borrow too much in order to have the things that they want and need. But also the rich. Several months ago, I read a report how the entertainer Ed McMahon, who you would think his many years as a television personality and spokesman and pitchman would be someone who is well off and comfortable, was in danger of losing his home. In fact, he might have lost his home. I'm not sure how it worked out. Fell into bad debt. And debt is no respecter of person. Not only does it not respect people as far as their gender, their age, or their income, it also is not intimidated by people of faith. Because the plague of debt has not only bitten the world, it's something that has bitten the church. Whether you're an atheist, a backslider, a religious person, or a born-again, filled with the Holy Spirit, believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can come under the bondage of debt. It can take a hold of you if you allow it. And not only can it, it will control your life. And affect not only your ability to buy and sell, but your ability to worship God in freedom, live in His blessing. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a call upon our lives to give. You know, we think about our lives as Christians, we think of worship, how we're called to serve God, obey God. Our brother, as he prayed, talked about us being people of integrity. But what is worship? Worship is singing and praising. Yes, that's part of worship. Worship is praying, is seeking more of God in your life. It's interceding, but it's more than that. John chapter 4, verse 24 tells us that God is spirit, and them that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It goes beyond just some things in our lives. It applies to everything in our lives, including our finances. We are called as believers to honor God and to worship God with our finances through giving. In fact, there is no greater blessing than you and I can receive than when we give. I shouldn't say no greater blessing, but we receive a great blessing when we give. Excuse my misstatement there. The Apostle Paul, in quoting the Lord Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, says, "The Lord Jesus Himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." You want to enjoy God's blessings in your life? Well, yes, you need to pray. You need to worship. You need to witness. You need to encourage. You need to be involved in ministry. But you also need to give. Now, how many have ever been blessed by receiving or having someone give to you? I think all of us have. In fact, time not too long ago, I was faced with a car repair bill. And, you know, in a moment of humanness, I know you never get there, but sometimes I do. And I'm looking at this, and I know there are other things that are coming up, and I'm thinking, God, how am I going to pay for that? You know, of course, I try to repent right away. So I want to be a person of faith. But lo and behold, to my surprise, and it shouldn't be to my surprise, God provided and even gave more. And boy, when that financial blessing came my way, I was blessed. I was encouraged because I saw not the hand of the person who gave me that money. I saw the hand of God giving to me It was a blessing. It spoke to my heart. But what does Jesus say regarding giving? Yes, it's a blessing to receive, but it's an even greater blessing to what? To give. When we give, it is more of a blessing in your life than you could ever receive when you receive from someone. Proverbs, among other scriptures, tells us and teaches us that when we give, it's a doorway to financial blessing. When we give, the law of sowing and reaping ensues. Reading the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, verses 24 to 26, one man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another holds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. People curse the man who hoards grain, but blessing crowns him who is willing to sell. When we bless others through giving, we ourselves will be blessed in kind, the scripture says. But that's just one aspect of the blessing of giving. There's so much more when we practice giving, not as I teach, but as God teaches. There are many blessings that come into our lives. In fact, from the above scripture, the scripture that we just read from the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, Proverbs is a book of wisdom. The sayings of that, if you apply them to your life prayerfully and obediently, you will become a person who is wise. So if this is a book of wisdom, someone then who engages in the spirit and the activity of giving is someone who demonstrates and operates in not just any wisdom, in divine wisdom, in Jesus' name. How many of us need wisdom today as far as life? We all need wisdom. What troubled times that we're faced with. Think of all of the great minds. And I'm not saying this facetiously this morning. I mean, our governmental leaders, they're far more intelligent than I am. Have far more wisdom and understanding regarding the ways of world markets and world economies and things. But so far, what have their solutions bought us? Ruin. Nothing. But bless God. God's wisdom, although it seems foolish in the eyes of man, reaps great benefits. You want to be a person of wisdom, practice giving. Wisdom or giving is also something that earns us not just temporal rewards. Hey, you could get $1 million now, but what does it matter in the life that is to come? I was going to say not too much. Nothing at all. You know, it's not scripture, but it's scriptural. You can't take it with you. Jesus said regarding giving, even giving the smallest of things in Matthew 10, 42, if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. What should we be striving for? As far as our life, whom should we be striving to please? Who will we stand before someday when this life is over? We're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and God is going to ask us if we've been faithful and true. Faithful, yes, in prayers. Faithful in the study of the Word of God. Faithful in spiritual growth. Faithful in ministry and in witnessing and all those things. But also faithfulness in giving. God will hold us accountable. And when we give even the smallest things, it adds to the voice of our Savior, the great judge of all the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Giving is also a way to make peace. How many of you have peace in every single relationship you have in your life right now? You don't have to raise your hand. Although Erica does. God bless you. And I bet you do, Erica. Because you're a sweetheart. Man, for many reasons, people, differences of opinion, personality conflicts, will chide with one another. And it's a terrible place to be. We're called by God to be not people who engage in strife, but people who make peace. Not only between other people, but between ourselves as well. And making peace means just that. We don't wait for it to happen. We do something about it. And one way we can do something about it is by giving. Apostle Paul writes in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 20, "If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head." You want to win over an enemy? Give. Bless him. You'll convict his heart. You'll turn his wrath and his anger into goodwill. In Jesus' name, giving is a way to make peace between even the fiercest of enemies. What is giving? Giving, yes, is tithing, but it's more than just tithing. Malachi 3:8 talks about how a man robs God when he withholds not only tithes, but offerings from the Lord. Tithe being something that, according to Malachi, is something that you bring into God's storehouse or to the church so that the work of the ministry may continue. But the work of the ministry is not only within these four walls. The work of the ministry is down the street. Leanne is here, has a ministry downtown and across the way. There are missionaries who are trying to spread the gospel in other places. Our tithe doesn't belong there, but certainly our offerings do. If we're people of giving, we're people of missions who pray, and I hope you pray every day for at least one missionary. If you don't know who to pray for, pick up a bulletin. There's one every week that we highlight. Giving is also, in the scriptures that we've read previously, is not something that we just do for the work of the Lord. There is also a moral responsibility that we have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to reach out to the poor and the needy. Jesus said, "We'll always have the poor." And I know the government, I'm not saying good or bad about it. May God grant the government wisdom. And I think nations do need to be sympathetic and minister to the poor that are within their lands. It's God's calling upon them as nations. But despite all the social programs that might come about, that either the United States or any other country might come up with, it will not solve the issue of the poor. Why? Because Jesus said, "The poor you'll always have with you." And he wasn't saying that for us to say, "Oh, well, they're just going to be with us, so tough luck for them." So that the church would minister to them. In Jesus' name, we have a call to give to the poor. And how this relates to us as far as our topic this morning of debt. There's blessing. There's freedom. There's joy when we give. Hallelujah. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But when debt comes in the equation of your financial life, when you get swallowed up in debt, you're hindered from giving. And therefore, you're hindered from being a blessing and being blessed. Because according to our text this morning, Proverbs 22, verse 7, debt is bondage. Debt equals bondage. Once again, our text, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." What is that saying? The idea here, the rich, or the creditor, we might say, is someone who exercises authority over someone. And the people that they exercise authority, and it's supreme authority, being able to control what someone does. The person that the creditor exercises authority over is the borrower. In fact, that word that's translated servant in the New International Version could also be translated bond slave. A bond slave. Now, how many rights does a slave have? Well, not very many. Thank God we don't have slavery in this country. And I know slavery exists in the world. May we pray that it comes to an end. But in a sense, we do have slavery because If you have encumbered yourself with debt, you have become a slave to your creditor. Your creditor is now your master. He controls how much you can spend, when you can spend, where you can spend. You're no longer able or free to spend as you would like to. Your creditor will tell you, not God. And because of that, and even when you do give, because there is this tremendous load of debt that is upon you, there's no joy in giving. You know, one of the blessings I mentioned a few moments ago that I neglected to mention earlier on in the message in giving is that it brings joy. When you help someone out, I think that's one reason why it is more blessed to give than to receive. When you bless someone in the name of Jesus, it puts a good feeling within your heart that not only you help someone, but you help some with the intent of bringing glory and honor and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What a blessing. But when you own, this isn't a dollar. It's colorful enough to be one these days, I guess. But when you're under so much debt, and you want to give, and you can't give, but you give anyways. You don't give as God wants you to give. The Bible telling us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, God loves a joyful giver. There's no joy when you're a slave. It's misery. And you might give, but it's not with the joy and the freedom that God intended you to give with. In Jesus' name. But bless God. There are a lot of bondages that people face in life. Chiefest of which is the bondage of sin. And bless God, Jesus came to set us free from that bondage. In Jesus' name. By dying on Calvary and paying our price, the price of death on the cross, that we might live. And just as Jesus has set us free from the bondage of sin, Jesus can set us free from the bondage of debt. How do we overcome debt and its bondage? I think first off, we need to understand its evil and its subtlety. It's evil and its subtlety. Debt is a very easy trap to fall into. And let me tell you, there are some young people here, and I'm not trying to single you out, but let me tell you, learn this lesson. If you learn anything, don't avoid at all costs debt in the name of Jesus. In fact, and we got our Zion kids here. Bless you guys. And I know you're not kids. You're all adult. But debt has hindered many people from entering ministry. In fact, pastors of churches and heads of ministry, if you bring debt, they'll say, get rid of your debt before you can come on board with us. Stay out of debt as much as you possibly can, so that you can be free to do what God has called you to do. Because debt is easy. It can happen to anyone. It's around the corner. It's literally being thrust into your face. I know I've shared this before, but my first credit card, Visa, that I got, I was a junior in college, and I was unemployed. And I got a credit card, a Visa. A major credit card I could use anywhere. Didn't have a whole lot of credit. But it gave me the ability to buy without cash. And that's not just the only thing. Credit cards, and they're out there, and maybe that will change the situation. I don't know. But you can get a credit card easier than you can get anything. Than you can buy a pack of gum. You don't even have to pay for it. At least not right away. Furniture stores offer 0% financing. Car dealerships advertise poor credit, bad credit. Why? They want you to borrow. So you pay interest, and become a slave to them. So we need to understand, as far as it's evil, how easy it is. And let me tell you, if it's bondage, it's not from God, it's the enemy. God, the enemy, would love to see you in debt up to your ears. So you can't serve God. It's easy to do. He makes it easy. And the reason it's easy, because it appeals to different aspects to us. Number one, it appeals to our impatient nature. How many, and please don't raise your hands this morning, are dealing with patience? I'll raise my hand. I remember once I heard a song, I don't know who sings it, I heard it on the radio back in the 80s, and it just had one verse they sang over and over again, "I want it all and I want it now." And doesn't that say it all? There's a mentality, we have to have it all. We have to live at a certain standard. We don't even need to have things. We need to have many things. And we need to have nice things, if not the best things. And we need to have them now. And even though I can't afford them now, I'll just borrow and pay for it later. Let me tell you, 0% financing, if they weren't making money on it, they wouldn't do it. There's a trap. There's something in there. Maybe a few people can do it. But most people can't. The Bible says it is foolish to buy with credit. We need to reinstill in our lives, as far as consumers in the United States, if we want something, we save up and then we get it. And until we get it, we do without. Solomon put it rather bluntly in Proverbs 6, 6 through 8. "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest." What is Solomon saying there? Save. Save for what you want. Save for what you need. And save for the thing that you don't even know that's going to happen, but it will happen. I'd love to buy a car and hope that nothing ever will go wrong with it. Or get in my house and think I'll never have to put any money into it. I don't think that house has been created yet. Well, it has. It's up in heaven waiting for me. And I see Jesus face to face. It won't happen here. Rainy days will come, and it's not because the enemy is after you. It's just part of life. You can either be prepared, you can follow God and be prepared by saving, or live by your credit card and constantly be shelling out thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars to your creditors and not even pay anything on the principal on what you originally borrowed. Another thing that I've seen happen in some instances in the body of Christ is not impatience, but foolish lending or foolish generosity. There are many people who need help, you know, whether it's a car or a repair or something. And most of the time it's an issue of borrowing money for something. And they'll go to people, and they may come to you. Well, it's a good rule of thumb to follow as far as co-signing a loan with someone or assuming a debt, you know, buying a car for someone in someone's name and they'll pay you and you pay. There's a certain rule of thumb. If you can't pay for it yourself, don't do it. I'm not saying that because I think that's a good thing to do. The Bible says that. Proverbs 11:15 says, "He who puts up security for another will surely suffer. But whosoever refuses to strike a pledge is safe." I have seen it time and time again. People who didn't have two pennies to rub together in trying to help someone else out, co-sign the loan or put their name on a car deed to buy and make payments on for someone, and then were left with maybe not one car payment, but two car payments that they couldn't pay. And so their cars were repossessed and their credit was ruined. It's not. And the problem is, we think we're not doing God's service if we don't do everything we can, including going into debt to help someone. Let me tell you, if you don't have it, God doesn't expect you to give it. Think of Peter and James when they went to pray. The gate beautiful after the Holy Ghost was poured out in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 3, here was a man, he was asking for money, and he needed money. And they didn't have money. And they didn't say, "Well, let me run down, I'll try to borrow something. And I'll owe somebody, but at least you'll have." No, they responded in boldness and confidence. Acts 3:6, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Listen, you have so much. Don't you think for 1 minute that just because you don't have any monetary means to bless someone, or you don't have the furniture or the appliance to bless someone, that you can't help that person. You have something that is far greater than that. And that is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which is upon you to pray and to believe God with them for a miracle, for peace, for faith, for strength in their lives. For the Word of God, to give them godly counsel as far as the financial decisions that they make. You have a wealth of things to give them. It may not be worth much in the eyes of man, but it's worth eternal value in the heart of God. Foolish lending. Don't do it. I've seen it happen time and time again. Sometimes parents, you need to exercise a little tough love. It's hard, but it's necessary. They'll learn a lesson. Secondly, not only do we need to understand the evil and the subtlety of debt, if we're in debt, and it's easy to happen, and I think it happens, if not to everyone, almost everyone, we need to get out of debt as soon as possible. Now, one thing as far as getting out of debt, we need to understand that before God, we are responsible for everything we buy and pay for. If you put your name on something, you say, I am going to buy this thing, I'm going to pay this certain amount, you are responsible to do that. Before God, not before Bank of America or Chase Manhattan or whoever else, but before God. Because what did Jesus say regarding a man or a person in His Word? Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Don't think, because I'm a Christian, I can just get out of it. Because you're a Christian, you can't get out of it. You must pay before God. And so as such, and in wanting to get out of this, instead of putting your debt on the back burner, it needs to become a priority in your life. Now, you have to give to God, of course, through tithing. That's without question. But you're not free to bless the poor. You're not free to support missionaries. You're not free to give that special offering to those in need as long as you remain out of debt. So get out from that. You can get out. Prioritize paying off your debts. Seek counsel. There are people whom God has blessed this church with, who'd be willing to sit down with you if debt's a problem and to help you. There are organizations, good organizations, that can give you wise counsel in helping you get out from underneath your debt. But there's also things that we need to do as well. Sometimes we need to cut expenses, which means we need to cut not just the superfluous things, the things that are nice, but not essentially the needs. There's a lot of things that we have in life, and a lot of things that we enjoy in life, but are they necessary in life? If I'm paying $100 a month for a cell phone service when I can get a track phone for $20 every 3 months, I need to make a change. I might not be able to call as many people as I'd like, but I need to make a change. If I'm paying $100 for cable every month, I need to get rid of the cable and get rabbit ears to do without. Spend the time in prayer. Instead of maybe getting filet mignon, I might get a little tube steaks. You see where I'm going? Cut expenses. Go even deeper than that. And thirdly, getting out of debt, I think it's important, to, at least in a token sense, to practice giving in our lives. Number one, always continue to tithe. I never felt comfortable, and I've counseled people in different times who have been in financial crisis. I've never felt comfortable, so I've never done it and said, just cut back on your tithe. I can't do that. The Word of God prohibits me from doing that. So I have to do what the Word of God says. And people have to take it from there. But even beyond that, begin with token offerings and token amounts as far as missions. Learn to be generous in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with others. You might not have $50, but maybe you have $5. Let me tell you, to someone who doesn't have milk that week, $5 is a treasure. You know, one of the things that has afflicted the body of Christ, and I'm not saying this, I don't look at anyone's giving. What you're giving is between you and God and no one else. But one of the things that has afflicted the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a stingy attitude towards giving. And I'm not just saying tithes. In missions, in fact, in missions, there are many Assemblies of God churches. I'm ashamed to say it. Assembly God churches. And one of the reasons that the Assemblies of God came to be was to support missionaries. Pentecostal churches that wanted to band together so we could put missionaries in far lands. Entire churches, including the pastor, who doesn't give one red cent to missions. It's deplorable. Deplorable. You know, one of the reasons that I think some people struggle so much is because there's a spirit of stinginess within the body of Christ. Paul puts it this way. Remember this, 2 Corinthians 9:6. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. We need to practice giving. We need to start, if we're not doing missions, even if it's a dollar a month, give to missions. It's the heartbeat of Christ to reach people for Jesus Christ. Don't just say, well, when an opportunity comes, make an opportunity to give. I'm not saying this for my benefit, but for yours. For he who sows sparingly, reaps sparingly. He who sows generously shall reap generously. The Word of God says. You know, I think a good way to gauge, and I'll probably get in trouble, so if this offends you, I'll ask you just to forget I said it. But to compare what your cable bill is, your monthly cable bill, to your monthly missions giving. I'm not sure. I pay a very small amount. I pay like $10 a month for cable. But I know you can pay a lot more for cable. For something that maybe we don't use, maybe shouldn't, or maybe, you know, obviously shouldn't, but maybe we don't use that much stuff that's something that's bringing stuff into our home that's ungodly. Yet we're paying more on that than we are in sending people to lands both near and abroad so that they can tell people about Jesus. And what's more important? It's a good way to test or gauge where our priorities are at because of giving. Practice giving. Practice giving in your life, even if it's small. If you're under heavy debt, make the debt your priority. But begin now, just even small. Even if it's a dollar a month, give a dollar a month to missions. If you're someone struggling, give them a dollar. Even if it's just a dollar, begin to exercise that generous spirit that God wants you to live in the name of Jesus. I'd like to ask our musicians to come this morning. And as they come, I'd like everyone just to bow your heart. Bow your head, close your eyes this morning. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. If there's anything today I want everyone to know, in addition to our topic, is that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you this morning. And in saying that, there's one thing that you all need to hear. And that is the biggest debt that you have in your life isn't any monetary figure. You could owe $1 million and make only $10,000 a year. And that's not the worst debt that you could possibly have. The biggest debt isn't your house, it isn't your car, it isn't your credit card. The biggest debt, if you're someone who's here who's here today who doesn't know Jesus, is your debt of sin. There's a scripture in the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 23. And what that scripture says is the wages or the debt of sin is death. And you know what's terrible about that debt of sin? It's a debt that everyone in the human race owes before God. And according to the Word of God, there's only one way to pay that debt, and that's with your life. But you know, Jesus loves you so much that He did not want to see you pay that debt yourself and so live eternally separated from Him. But He chose not just to send anyone. He chose the Heavenly Father to send His own dear Son, Jesus, to die on a cross to pay that debt for you. And the beautiful thing about that scripture verse, although it gives us a harsh reality, the first part that tells us that the wages of the debt of sin is death, the last part of that says the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Christ died to pay our debt of sin. And all we have to do to live in the freedom of having our debt of sin canceled is just like we do on Christmas or our birthday when someone gives us a gift. That's simply by receiving. By receiving not just something, someone, Jesus, into our lives. The Bible tells us, as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to be called the sons of God, even to them who are called by His name. This morning, you might be here, and you come here living under the debt of sin, and you don't know how to get out of it. And it's bothering you. It's heavy. And let me share with you one way to know whether or not you haven't received relief from this debt. You're afraid about what will happen if this is your life's last breath. If your life was to end, you're not sure where you would spend eternity. You're not sure what goes beyond the grave. If that's how you feel, then your debt has been paid for. You haven't received Jesus. God doesn't want you to live there. God wants you to accept Him into your life. Accept His forgiveness by confessing Him as Lord and as Savior. There's someone here who has this debt of sin on your life, and you want Jesus to come in and take that debt away by coming into your life and making you that brand new person, forgiving you of all your sins. Would you slip up your hand this morning? I'd like to pray for you. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to bow, and I see that hand, and we're going to bow together. And I'm going to ask everyone together, especially those whose hands were raised this morning, want Jesus Christ to come into your life, pray this prayer with me. And when I say that, I'm not just saying, well, you just say these few words and everything will be fine between you and God. What you're doing when you say these words, you're asking Jesus Christ to come into your life and to forgive you, to make you a brand new person. You're asking Him to come in and to take away that debt of sin in Jesus' name. So as we pray this prayer, don't just pray with your mouth, but pray with your heart this morning. And Jesus, who loves you, Jesus, who died on Calvary for you, will come in. Just as sure as I'm standing here today, He'll come into your heart. He'll take away all of your sin, all that debt that will bring death. He'll take it away and give you life this morning. Jesus, I thank You so much that You died on Calvary for the debt of sin. Dear Jesus, I have sinned. I need Your forgiveness. Come into my life. Forgive me. Make me whole. Make me clean. And make me brand new in Jesus' name. And dear God, because I have put my trust in You as my Savior, I'm born again, brand new, with a hope and a future in heaven, in your presence. And I thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And you know, my friend, if you prayed this prayer, not only with your mouth, but in your heart this morning, asking Jesus Christ to come into your life, not only is there joy in your heart this morning, but there's great joy in heaven. Because one more person now has joined the ranks of heaven and is going to spend eternity with Jesus. I think that's what we're talking about this morning. Sing in just a moment, but I'd like to ask everyone to stand. Those who have, if you've given your life to Christ this morning, ask God to take away that debt of sin. I want you to come forward. I want to pray with you. I've got some things afterwards that I want to give to you. But I'm also going to open up the altars for those who are under the burden of physical death. And I know it's not a proud thing to do. It's a humbling thing to do. Humble yourself when you came to Jesus. And in seeking solution to our problems, we need to humble ourselves as well. In Jesus' name. And so if death has been dogging you this morning, in the name of Jesus, I invite you to come forward and ask Jesus to do three things. Number one, to give you hope. One thing that debt, tremendous debt does, it robs you of your hope. There's hope for tomorrow because you serve Jesus, who owns the cattle of a thousand hills. He can take your debt away. Time flat. You need to pray not only for hope, you need to pray that God will give you wisdom. There's a way out, and that way is known only to God. But God, because He's loving and gracious, He'll share that way with you. So ask God to give you wisdom. And number three, pray that God will give you the faith, the courage, and the strength to do what the Spirit of God is moving you to do. In Jesus' name. You might have to make some tough choices to get out of debt in your life. You might have to do without some things. You might have to change some different things in your lifestyle, which are going to be difficult for you. You know what? As difficult as it is, God will give you the strength to do that in Jesus' name. Because He loves you, and He wants to see you set free in Jesus' name. Come as we pray. Of course, the altars are open for any and all who would like to come. And of course, they're open for you can remain as we continue to praise and worship God together. But as our worship team sings, let's pray and let's believe God for God to move upon us in the name of Jesus as we worship and as we pray and as those who must go as they go. In Jesus' name, let's pray in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank You. And we praise You in the name of Jesus that You have borne our debt on Calvary and that You supply all our need according to Your riches and glory. Even though, Lord, whether it's for good reasons or for foolish reasons, we might have been bogged down in great debt, God, You are still God, and You're still able to get us out. Because You are a God of mercy, we appeal to You this morning in the name of Jesus, and we pray that You show us the way in Jesus' name. And I pray specifically for our young people, oh God, who are facing this world, and how the temptation of debt, how it looks so good, give them the wisdom and the strength. Stand strong against death in the name of Jesus. That they might worship You freely and give it. That they might be known not as borrowers, but as lenders in the name of Jesus. And that in the midst of the ashes of financial ruin in the United States, the church will rise up strong in Jesus' name. Going away to Christ. We thank You. We praise You. Bless those who must go now. Bless and keep them close to Your heart. Bring us all back to Your house that we might worship You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless those who must go. Let's worship God together, though, as our worship.